Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And this week we are going to be doing an NBA season recap since the NBA Finals started last week. But before we get into that, I just want to say if you have any questions or episode suggestions, we always really appreciate those, so please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com with any of those. So let's get right into that. The NBA Finals tipped off last Thursday night, and if any of you have been paying attention to the sports world, it was a big Thursday night. It was very chaotic. The Cavaliers had a chance to win it. They were at the free throw line with about 5 seconds left, and then J.R. Smith for the Cavaliers even got the rebound, and somehow I think he must have thought they were up in the game. He got the rebound and then just dribbled the ball out, didn't put back up a shot, and then the Cavaliers ended up losing by 10 in overtime. So I don't know how he's going to sleep for a while, but I guess he clearly has. That was probably the Cavs' game to steal. It could have maybe made the finals a little bit more interesting than they're now probably going to be, because then last night, Sunday night, Steph Curry hit an NBA record, or NBA finals record for threes. I think he had 9. A bunch of the Warriors secondary players, I think 2 guys were combined 11 of 11 from the field, and now it's 2-0, and it's probably going to end up being maybe a sweep, maybe a gentleman's 5-game sweep, but that's not going to take away from what the NBA season has been so far, especially amid all of the cord cutting that the NBA is doing really well this season. And that's what I want to talk about, because the business is booming. And I think going forward, as I've said a couple times in this podcast, it's really the NBA and basketball is a sport that I see has a really long-term goal of being the second biggest sport in the world to soccer. So I want to get into why that is. So game one, this is the only stats we have for the NBA Finals so far. Game one did really well. It was down a little bit from game one of last season, but it drew 17.4 million people to ABC on Thursday night. It peaked at about 22 million. So it was down a little bit, like I said, from last season. But last season was the most watched finals since 1998, which was Michael Jordan's last NBA Finals, so that's a big deal. The biggest finals in 20 years. But if you pay a little bit more close attention, that the peak ratings were almost exactly the same as Game 1 last year. So for all the talk about a fatigue of the fourth straight year with Steph Curry versus LeBron and the Cavs, it doesn't seem to be the case. And like I said, that those ratings are up, and I'm going to get into the regular season ratings. But you have to remember that the NFL's ratings were down almost 10% this year to about 15 million, and they were down the season before that as well. So to contrast the NFL's ratings going down while the NBA's ratings are going up, it's a pretty big deal, especially since television in general is trending in a downward direction. So for the regular season, the NBA's ratings dipped a little bit last season, but this year they're at a 4-year high. The national telecasts were up 8% to about 1.3 million viewers. But you have to remember that's obviously a lot less than the NFL's about 15, but they play 82 games and not 16. So over the course of the season, that's a lot more people watching. And that's across all 4 of the networks for the nationally televised games, which is Disney's, ABC, and ESPN. And then TNT and NBA TV. So ABC's games were up big, 17%. Those are the only ones that aren't on cable, so that's great. And then TNT was up 13%. ESPN was the smallest, up about 4%. And then NBA TV was up just a little bit. And if people remember, they're still about, I think they're 2 years in or 3 years into the big, huge 9-year, $24 billion deal with ESPN and Turner. And then what's also a huge deal for the NBA as well, and they'll be able to then hopefully negotiate better deals going forward even, is the regional sports networks. So all the local cable networks like Comcast, Sportsnet, and Fox, whatever region the NBA team is in, those games are up about 4%. So once again, I want to stress that it's a pretty big deal that these ratings are up, not just a little bit, but up a significant amount, especially when you consider that all of television is trending in the other direction, and specifically the NFL is going down big. And then I want to talk about, if you've been watching the NBA Finals, you will see YouTube TV is everywhere. They're making a big push. You might get sick of it, but you might not have enough time if it ends up being a four-game sweep. But if you watch the post-game press conferences, it is the only logo that's there. It's the first time the NBA Finals have ever had a presenting sponsor. So everywhere that you'll see the NBA Finals logo, underneath it'll just say presented by YouTube TV. That deal runs through at least next season, and it also covers the WNBA and the G League, which is the NBA's minor league that they're trying to grow at this point. And it's a big deal in the sense that it's something that's going forward going to be something you assume more people do. I do not have YouTube TV. You can try it for a free trial. I think it's probably a month. But what's going on, it's funny, in the first game, I don't know if people noticed, they had a commercial for YouTube TV that was using footage from game one of the NBA Finals. So they were already promoting buying YouTube TV with footage from that game earlier today. And then they did this weird where Kevin Durant, who's a big YouTube, he has his own YouTube channel and he's invested in the company in Google, I believe. He is watching himself play in the NBA Finals and then kicks it to the announcer who's announcing it on ABC. It was this very strange cross-promotional thing, but I encourage everyone to look up a little bit about what YouTube TV is. It's just they're getting all, so they're just streaming ABC's coverage of the NBA Finals. It's, you get all of the basic channels, ABC, NBC, that's included. I think it's, I have it right here, it's 60, there's a little over 60 free channels, and then you can add on Showtime and HBO and stuff like that. And it's $40 a month. So it sounds a little cheaper than cable, but if you have to buy internet, which you have to do to be able to stream it, it ends up being a little, it's not as cheap if you have to already have the internet. And then this is $40 a month. So we'll see how it goes in the future. But as I was saying, you can try it out for free right now. So maybe give it a try, see if you like it. I might try it out now. You can watch it through Google Chromecast, Roku TV, Roku, never know exactly how to pronounce that, Apple TV, Android. I think you can even watch it through Xbox One and then some Samsung platforms as well. But moving on from YouTube TV, I've talked about this before, but this is something that I really do think going forward you will see more North American professional sports teams adopt, and that is those on-jersey sponsorship patches. It's hugely popular in soccer all over the world. The sponsors of the clubs become synonymous with the team. From just any big company, their logo is bigger on the soccer jerseys than the team logo. That's not the case in the NBA. This is the first year they've done it because it was the first year Nike was doing the jerseys. So you had 21 out of the 30 teams ended the season with a jersey sponsor. So not even close to all the teams. But I think going forward, you will see more of them do individual team deals because it was pretty successful so far. And it's a pretty nice little chunk of money. The average patch deal brought in about $6.5 million for roughly $137 million total for the league and the teams, and that helped the NBA pull together a combined $1.12 billion in sponsorships, which is huge. And this is according to IEG/ESP. And it was a 31% increase from the year before. So this $137 million in the jersey patch deals was a big deal. And it's also worth noting that they're not that far behind the NFL. So the NBA was at $1.12 billion, and the NFL this past season was at $1.25 billion, which is pretty crazy when you consider that everyone thinks of the NFL as the biggest sport by far, this money-making behemoth, and the NBA slowly getting closer because they're finding other ways in new ways, not even necessarily new, but new for North American professional sports teams to make money. And then just for anyone that doesn't know, it's not necessarily random little companies that are sponsoring the NBA since it's so expensive. You have General Electric sponsoring the Celtics. You have companies like Harley Davidson, Western Union, StubHub, which is owned by, it's the ticketing company. They're owned by eBay, Fitbit. The two teams are in the NBA Finals. The Warriors are sponsored by a Japanese electronics firm, Rakuten, who also sponsors FC Barcelona. And then Goodyear Tires sponsors their hometown Cleveland Cavaliers. And then some other big companies that are really have been in bed with the NBA for a long time. American Express, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, Kia, State Farm, and then PepsiCo through Gatorade, Frito-Lay, and then Mountain Dew is another huge NBA sponsor. So you'll see that all over the place. And I think it's just something that you might see more companies get in slowly in the NBA. Because if you see the TV ratings are going up, that means advertisers want to be a part of that because no one's watching anything live. I've said that way too many times. But if ratings are going up, people want to be there. It's as simple as that. So it sounds too easy, but it's also all too true. And then as I mentioned before that it was Nike's first season, they are also the NFL sponsor, so you'll see Nike's logo on the NFL jerseys for another decade because they just redid that deal not too long ago, so that runs through the 2028 season. And now Nike might also become the official uniform partner of Major League Baseball because it seems like Under Armour is trying to back out of that deal. So they could have three of the four North American professional sports leagues while Adidas just has the NHL, which they just got. And I assume Nike's now just going to be in it for the long haul for the NBA and that it won't ever be anybody else but Nike, at least for a really long time. They're synonymous with basketball. They dominate basketball shoes. They dominate basketball culture. I would just assume that Nike stays with the NBA for the foreseeable future. But I want to close with a little look ahead at why the sport and the NBA specifically is a good business to be in. And two of the biggest reasons are two huge markets besides all of Europe, some places in South America, even Australia. Basketball is pretty huge, but also in India and China, the two biggest countries in the world with growing, and you can argue this, growing middle class. That's a huge market they're trying to get into, and they are firmly there. The NBA is in China. They are the number one team sport to watch in China. The NBA is the most popular sports league on social media in China. Tencent had a partnership with ESPN, so they have the digital rights to a bunch of NBA games. The NBA Finals, this to me was mind-blowing because it's definitely more people than watched it in the United States. The last NBA Finals, 200 million viewers watched in China just on mobile devices at one point for the NBA Finals. 200 million viewers, which is really crazy when you think about that. That's more people than watch the Super Bowl in the United States. So that's a huge market, and if the NBA can make bigger inroads there, it could double their business. I mean, China has 1.3 billion people or something like that. So that'd be really huge. And then this was another mind-blowing one that the NBA is now, I said this, the number one league followed on social media, but it's seven times more discussed on social media and five times as many followers as the three top European soccer leagues combined, which to me is crazy because you think of those three top soccer leagues as the biggest international leagues in the world because soccer is the most famous popular sport in the world. And just to see that the NBA is doing what they're doing combined is pretty crazy. And then you have platforms like WeChat. It's the most followed because that's huge in China. Webio, might be pronouncing that wrong. almost 3 billion video views this past season. The numbers are, might not even register for some people. They don't necessarily make sense to me, but it's a huge market. The NBA is there. They've been there for a while, and it's only getting bigger. And then, as I mentioned before, they're growing in India slowly, a little bit of a grassroots to get people in the country to care about basketball. Kevin Durant was there on a tour last summer. He's a big global ambassador for the game and Nike and the NBA. He opened up a bunch of courts, held some camps. So you'll see that the NBA does a lot of games in the offseason in China. So I can see going forward maybe them doing some offseason, what do they call those? Friendlies is what they call them in soccer, but some offseason exhibition games over in India. And then going forward, just how popular the athletes themselves are. You have the World Fame 100 list from ESPN. Last year, it was hugely popular or dominated by soccer and NBA players. And then this year, the list just came out for 2018. It is the same exact top three. You have LeBron James at number two, most famous athlete in the world, sandwiched in between Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. And they do this based on internet search results, how often people are searching the internet, endorsement dollars, and then social media following. And then just to run over the top 10, so you had the same top three as last year, and then you had Kevin Durant at 7 and Steph Curry at 9 this year, both up a couple spots from last year. You have James Harden at 24, Kyrie Irving at 27, Dwayne Wade at 31, Russell Westbrook at 34, Derrick Rose, who, give him credit, he's still somehow the 36th most famous athlete in the world, even though he hasn't really been good in a couple years, so good for him. And then you have Carmelo Anthony in the top 50 as well. And for reference, the NFL has two. Tom Brady was the highest on the list this year, and he moved down a bunch of spots from last year. He was at 38. So all in all, in the top 50, there was 9 NBA players, and then soccer, there's 19. So it gives you a little frame of reference how popular those are. The two biggest by far in the top 50 is the NBA and then big European soccer clubs. Even though not all the players are actually from Europe, they play in Europe for their club teams. And then the rest of the list is tennis players, some golfers, a couple cricket players, and I believe there was a Formula One racer as well. And then I want to wrap it up with just a little idea of where they're going in the future and then their current presence on social media just real fast, because the NBA's idea of what social media is way different than the NFL, who's really stingy with putting highlights on there. The NBA has more Twitter followers than the NFL and the Premier League. The NBA even has their own NBA Twitter commercial. Twitter is advertising NBA Twitter as a thing where people are interacting with NBA games while they're happening. It's something that's been a big thing in the NBA for a long time, that during the games, the conversation on Twitter is huge. It's something Twitter can use going forward, and something you hopefully will see a lot of these leagues do going forward, is they want that fan engagement in the games. And then Instagram, this is what's crazy. The NBA has almost 29 million followers. The NFL has 11. And that's one of the fastest growing social media platforms in the world. That's owned by Facebook, if you didn't know that. And this was an interesting quote from Adam Silver, who's the commissioner of the NBA. He said, "We promote posting of our highlights. The highlights are identified through YouTube software where ads are sold against them. So they earn revenue from these highlights." But this is what's more interesting. "So we compare our strategy to snacks versus meals. If we provide those snacks to our fans on a free basis, they're still going to want to eat the meals, which are our games. There's no substitute for live game experience. We believe the greater fan engagement through social media helps drive television ratings." And clearly this strategy seems to be working for them. And then, as I said before, the NFL, I believe their technical policy is that if you're not an NFL team, so if you're a news organization, even like ESPN or something like that, you can only have NFL highlights on your social media platform or website for 24 hours after the game. It's very strange. In the NFL, you think maybe they'll change these practices going forward where you want to complement the games. You want people to be able to have the highlights, as Adam Silver was saying, to want to then watch the games themselves. But then I want to close it out with a little bit of also some other growth areas besides this young social media following and growing the game in India and China and the rest of the world. Adam Silver's been at the forefront of a lot of these trends. He was at the forefront of legalizing sports betting, which is now slowly going to happen, which the NBA will then capitalize on. They have a streaming deal with Amazon's Twitch platform for their G League, which is their minor league system. And then they're the first North American professional league to have their own esports league that started this season already. They partner with Take-Two Interactive for their NBA 2K league. And then I want to close with this, that 45% of the fans are under the age of 35. The NBA says half. So around that, around half of the fans are under 35. The average fan is 42. So it's the second youngest fan base in North America besides soccer, but they have much bigger fan base than soccer. I think soccer was at 39 or 40 this year. So the NBA is at 42, and then the NFL is at 50, and then Major League Baseball is at 57. So those fans are trending older. They have been in the last couple of years, actually maybe even more like the last couple of decades, where the NBA has been able to actually keep their fans getting younger and younger, which going forward, that will be huge. And I just think this is fascinating, as you could tell. And I think going forward, you'll see a lot more companies get involved. And you also see a lot more leagues most likely adopt some of the strategies that the NBA has done to buck this ratings trend where everyone else is seeing viewers leave the NBA this season, even though everyone said at the beginning of the year, it's going to be Cavs Warriors again. That's exactly what ended up happening in the NBA Finals, yet people are still watching. So the NFL has way more unknown going into the season, where most of the time the teams who didn't make the playoffs last year can make the playoffs. That doesn't happen as often in the NBA, but they're still doing really well. So that'll be really fun to watch going forward, how this league grows even more. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.